clear too, is that, you know, we were, as I think I hopefully said with enough force in there, that you know, we were among the first, but certainly not the only ones. I mean, people began to come, and the Ark played a big, big part. And, you know, officially, when they took on the ability to take the money that was being donated for his defense and all that. So there's lots of people in here that are very interestingly positioned to do certain things. But just what Pat and I tend to do is to walk with, you know, without any particular... What we tell everybody, because we never charge anything for anything we do. No one, we're not a service. So if someone finds us and, you know, connects with us, and we feel we have the time and energy to walk with them a bit and have something to offer, then it's really a matter of whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes. And we will be making connections, largely. We will, as we walk along, we'll say, well, gee, that sounds good. You should meet. You know, or that sounds great. We should invite. And that's how the circle grows. And that's exactly what Bob, everyone has done. Bob taught us actually how to do that. So it's that's the way the circle of friends, I think, developed in our perspective. And then certain people took certain leadership roles, like, you know, Rosemary and Irv and folks, you know, took on some major leadership. John for a while with his chairmanship, if you will, of the committee, as he got a little bit more formal during the heavy court days and hiring lawyers and firing lawyers and all this stuff. And so this was out of our realm, and we you know, we would visit, or we would write letters, or we would do the things that we do, Pat and myself. But as time moves into the stage of simply being with on a regular basis, and if Richard wants us on his visitor list, and so we were on his list initially, then he wanted to get some new people on, and now we've been on his list again for the last 5 years or so. I think maybe more now. It's sort of a more consistent every month basis. The most frustrating time comes when we know Richard is in there, you know, waiting our visit, and they lock the blessed place down. It's happened a couple times, you know, when we go in there. One time, only once though, only once in all the time we've been visiting with Richard did it happen where the place got locked down in the midst of our visit. You know, the bells went off and everything went off. And Richard is a man, and this really gave us a lesson about Richard, because, you know, we're sitting there telling jokes, you know, and going on and talking about the Red Sox and whatever we're talking about. And all of a sudden, things happened, and Richard, without anything, was gone. He was gone, not even a goodbye. You know, he said, gotta go. Boom. You know, and he knew that where he needed to be. He needed to be in his pod, and he didn't want to be trampled. He didn't want to be in the middle of any trouble. He knows how to protect himself and know what he has to do, you know. And so he said, ooh. You know, of course, all of us were ushered out of there as quickly as possible, and the thing was locked down again. He has adapted. Goes to church every Tuesday. You know, serves Mass. Yeah, they have the Catholic Mass on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. There, I don't know what that chaplain business or whatever, but he's serving Mass like he did down here in Manchester. And I mean, I bet you if they had a subset of the Knights of Columbus there, he'd be a member of that particular lodge. So, you know. Anyhow, that's...
Yeah, one of the things you said that sort of jogged something in my mind, where you're talking about how he's so happy to have his job back. I remember during the penalty phase of the trial, which I wasn't at, but I read the transcripts, there was testimony about, I think from prison people, about what a good worker he was in the prison. And the prosecutor, Dennis O'Connor, is cross-examining him and saying, well, isn't it in somebody's best interest to have, you know, in their own self-interest to have something to keep them busy? And, you know, I'm thinking, if this guy was a lazy slug, you know, they'd be pounding
that.
He's
spin it any way
he wants.
He's
doing it in a positive. He's right. Doing something positive, and they're demeaning it. I know, that was just appalling to me.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, it's absolutely demean. denigrate, make a monster out of this, you know, calculating. He works only because he knows that he's going to... That's not Richard. He's worked literally all of his life, and he's done essentially one thing all of his life, and that is work in kitchens, washing dishes primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he reflects upon himself as what he does, he says, I'm a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it with a voice of pride.
Yeah.
You know? And he's proud of the fact that he worked all of his life. He tried to... from our perspective in the disability world, in what we do in walking with people, and what people with disabilities want, Richard was a hero. Was an absolute winner.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was living on his own, in his own place, with a wife, a child,
mm-hmm.
working full time, communicant in a church,
mm-hmm.
member of a club of the church, the Knights of Columbus, man about town in terms of
mm-hmm.
walking and knowing the police officers and people,
mm-hmm.
Loved his his grandmother-in-law was probably the best person in the family to
mm-hmm.
him,
yeah.
And to he admits this, he had to take all kinds of ridicule and rejection and stuff by a variety of people in the community, including some of his family, his in-laws, as we understand it. And he had to go from job to job from time to time because he got so clumsy he would drop dishes and he couldn't pull a job, which was just another matter that was not, in terms of the other thing that just caught me right at the beginning and still catches me to this day is the extent to which these ligatures were so professionally tied to the point where the firemen, I guess, or whoever it was that first had to engage here couldn't put their fingers in between them.
Right.
And this was... I don't know how you can ask Richard to try to tie a knot like that. I don't know if anyone ever has done that. And, 20 years later, probably is not relevant. But the point is, with his reputation, his hands, his whole thing, to be able to tie those things in the first place... is not something I believe he can do. I don't. Maybe he could. Maybe there's something there that I don't know. But given everything I've seen and heard and witnessed and over the years, I can't imagine him being able to do that and do it quickly and as many as he did. I think there were two or three in variety of places and and do all of the things that needed to be done to. Burn the place, rake, just all of that stuff. So it's, as far as we're concerned, I haven't been able to talk to anybody who's in my mind that could prove to me he was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we run into a number of people from Manchester, some here, who totally disagree with us and call us naive because they were either in the police force or they were legal people that read briefs and all that. As far as they're concerned, Richard was guilty, based on what was in the legal documents. And I leave that to somebody else. I've never read all those documents and don't intend to tell you the truth. We're trying to do it from the human, from his perspective. And that's what we do on our walks with anybody. We tend not to concentrate on the disability. We kind of concentrate on what it is that they're able to do and what they want to do with the gifts they have, however limited those gifts might be.
Mm-hmm.
And not to deny the disabilities, because there are, in many instances they're really, really obvious, but to say, okay, with what your gifts are, what can we do with that? So all the people we walk with, the stories we have of people that we've walked with and continue to walk with, it's the same, and Richard is the same. I mean, we know that when he leaves the prison, we'll be walking with him as we've walked with some people for 25 years and such. They're very imperfect, lots of problems, trying to get the right resources, what to do with the day, try to find a little work, try to find a little entertainment, all of that stuff. And then, of course, there's always the the issues of, you know, if he, you know, if all goes as we would like it to go and he does walk out, then he's going to be some sort of a celebrity too, and so how to handle all of that and what to do with all of that and make sure he doesn't, you know, get himself into issues at all. So that's where the walk in the circle, we're getting prepared for that. Right now we're on a hiatus from that. We were moving along rather quickly there for a while with all these plans and details. Now they're all kind of put on hold until we get a little bit more of an understanding of when he might be leaving. Richard, almost every meeting with us too, he likes to get Pat's goat. You know, he will use the word if, say, and Pat will get on, he'll get this twinkle in his eye. He said, all right, when? When? he'll do that. He said, I know I'm going to leave. I know I'm going to leave this place in a box. Oh, no, that will go crazy. He'll get this twinkle in his eye.
That's great. Joke about it. That's quite something.
It's almost every year. Every time we meet, that will come up somewhere in the hour. You know, somehow. So yeah, he's got that. You know, he's got that sense of humor amid all this stuff. You know, when he's really honest with us, he'll just say, you know, I'm getting tired of this, George. We can understand that. You gotta stay steady and be patient. Everybody's doing the best they can, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And Paul and Kate wouldn't be doing this if they didn't believe you're innocent. They don't do this. I mean, that's not what these folks do. They only take the people they are convinced are innocent, and they'll pursue it till the end, till the person walks out of jail. So, with that in mind, and reminding him at almost every meeting, and I know Bob does that, and Irv does that, everybody does that. That's the thing that Richard needs most in terms of the support from his circle of friends at this point. And then he really likes the Christmas gifts. The money, he's counting this on my birthday, Christmas, yeah, okay, he can sort of get a tally of what he might be having there to go to the commissary and buy a few things on his own behalf. So those are the joys and pleasures in his life at this point. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
What strikes us as we visit him in prison, too, is all the people he knows. You know, it's like, hey, Joe! Hey! James Stewart said, that's my barber. Hey! same pod. And these guys would come by, tap him on the shoulder. Hey, Rich, how you doing?
That's great.
He's just, you know, it's, and most of these guys believe that I'm innocent, that I'm going to get out of here, you know. So that's good, Rich. You know, that's the way it is. So that's what keeps him going.
Mm.
Just reaffirming that. I think I'm